Midlife counseling issues on this edition of Truth and Love. I'm Dale Johnson, and you're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to provide biblical solutions to the problems that people face. This week on the podcast, I'm delighted to have with me Dan Nah. He's married to Mina for 28 years, and Dan and Mina have 4 children, ages 19 to 25. I've had the pleasure, Dan, of meeting one of your children out in San Diego at Patrick Cho's church, and it's been wonderful to get to know her a little bit. He's been in pastoral ministry for over 25 years, and he's been ACBC certified since 2017, and he's also served as an ACBC Training Center director. Dan's completed a Master of Divinity degree from the Master's Seminary and a Doctor of Ministry degree in Biblical Counseling from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Dan, it's so good to have you here on the podcast.
Thanks so much, Dale. It's great to be here.
Listen, we are together, and it's so interesting. As I get older, your topic today becomes more relevant as we think about midlife and what that looks like and the different things that we experience. It's so weird how that works, Dan, to be honest. One day you look up and you think you're still 20. You think you're still 20, but you know, you're much more like your parent. You remember your parents' age. And that's such a weird thing that happens to me. Like, I distinctly remember my dad being 40 and 45, and here I am, 45. And it's like, wow, what I thought was so old, it's not so old now.
That's right.
But here we are. We're going to talk today about midlife issues that we see. And I'm just curious, what got you interested in studying this particular topic about middle age, midlife issues?
I first became interested in studying counseling issues related to middle-aged believers, really at the suggestion of Dr. Robert Jones at Southern Seminary. I was in the DMIN program at the time, and Dr. Jones mentioned this was an issue with those in the biblical counseling movement. We haven't really done a lot of research and writing and teaching on this issue. If you look at the subject of counseling middle-aged people, you'll find a lot written from the perspective of secular psychology. You'll find some written from the perspective of Christian integrationism, but very little written from the perspective from the biblical counseling movement, those of us who hold to the sufficiency of scripture in counseling. And when he mentioned this as a research topic, it really clicked for me. I was in my mid-40s at the time. Mina and I had reached our 20th anniversary as a married couple. We had teenagers in the home, and life just looked a lot different than when I was in my 20s and in my 30s. And I wanted to know what I was heading into in middle age. I was also pastoring at a church where a large percentage of our members were middle aged and in that age group. And I was counseling and shepherding and seeing a lot of common themes and common issues arise in ministry. And I wanted to be a better shepherd and counselor. And so I spent the next number of years researching and studying this subject.
Yeah, that's interesting. And this resonates with so many of us. And if you're not there yet, it will resonate with you very soon. Talk about some of the common pressures that you described that sort of grew your interest in these types of issues of midlife. What are some of those common pressures that believers experience in middle age?
So a working definition I use for middle age is around 45 to 65 years of age. That's not an inspired, inerrant statement. If you look at the literature written from secular and Christian authors, there really is no consensus on when middle age begins. It's interesting in our society that you go to kindergarten when you're 5, you start high school when you're 14, you become a legal adult when you're 18, but when do you become middle age? It's sort of this not really well-defined area of life, but I use 45 to 65 as a working definition. If you want to push that age range 5 years earlier or 5 years older, you're not going to get much pushback from me. We're just generalizing here, but just to name a few issues that as a pastor and as a shepherd I've seen in this time frame of life, we could see the obvious is middle age is a time of increasing physical limitations. I like how author Paul Tripp puts it, midlife is when the delusions of invincibility begin to fade away. And Dale, I'm in my 50s now, and I can say that any delusions of invincibility I used to have are now long gone. I was with my daughter the other day and she was drinking a Coke and I thought, hey, I'll have a Coke. And then I thought, well, my body doesn't really deal with sugar well, doesn't really deal with caffeine well. I need to have protein and I'm going to crash. And it just seems so complicated to have that Coke. I just stuck with water. And that's such a simple illustration, but there are physical limitations in middle age. I think in midlife you have parenting difficulties. Generally, parents are dealing with older children in this life stage, and that could be a hard transition for many people. These cute little babies you hold in your arms are suddenly young adults with real problems and real struggles and thoughts about life. And I've never had a counseling session where a person said to me, "Dan, can you pray for me? I'm just doing too well at parenting my teenagers. I'm just having so much success. Can you just pray for my humility?" I've never had a counseling session like that. And since you have parenting difficulties in middle age, I think you have marital difficulties. Our marriage looks different 25 years in. Mina and I have been married 28 years now. We recently become what people call empty nesters. Our children have left the home, and it's a different season of marriage. And we've noticed many marriages struggle in this season of life. You even see in society, many marriages end when the children leave the home and they stay together for the sake of getting the children through school. And many couples have unresolved differences through the years, but you're busy, you're raising children. All of a sudden, you're living with someone you don't know very well. And so marriages can struggle. I'd also mention the pressure of caring for aging parents. And, you know, Dale, it's interesting, when I surveyed a number of my church members who were middle age, and I was surprised to find that caring for aging parents was the number one challenging issue faced by the members of my church. And they call this the silent trial. The responsibilities of caregiving increase incrementally, so it's not a crisis-like event where you ask the entire church to pray for you. And a lot of middle-aged believers are dealing with twin pressures of raising children who are teenagers and young adults. And at the same time, they're bearing the responsibilities of caring for aging parents. I'd mentioned singleness as a middle-aged believer looks different than singleness as a young adult. And so you have many singles in the body of Christ in the 45 to 65 age group, those who have never married, those who have married and divorced and who are in need of compassion and care, and those who are widows and widowers who the Lord has a heart for. And a couple more pressures I would mention is vocational disillusionment is common in middle age. A lot of people spend their 20s and 30s climbing a vocational ladder only to realize they're never going to get there. They're never going to get to the top of the mountain. And other people spend their 20s and 30s climbing that ladder, and they get to the top of the mountain and realize there's nothing here. I spent decades studying and working for this, and there's nothing satisfying here. And midlife can be hard in that way. And middle age can also be a time of emotional grieving. Just generally speaking, in our 20s and 30s, we're attending weddings and baby showers. In our 40s and 50s, we're attending more funerals. And we lose more heroes who have gone before us. We lose more loved ones, family and friends. And there's a weight of sorrow that people are bearing in middle age. And all of this to say that, I mean, that's just a brief survey. We could do so much more. But all that to say that middle age, the ages 45 to 65, can be a time when there are unique pressures and difficulties faced in life. And I think as pastors and counselors, we want to be sensitive to that and be equipped to counsel well in this time of life.
That's so helpful. And I think you're really putting your finger on some of the very specific things. And I appreciate that you're not talking about this in some sort of generic way, and you're bringing it down to reality on these are legitimately some of the things that we wrestle with, and not described as being good or bad. They just are. They're reality. Several things that you mentioned resonate personally with me. The older you get, the more you figure out your human weakness, and physically speaking, but then also limitations of knowledge and intellect, all those things, you start to realize, and you're okay with the fact that, you know, I don't know everything. And you know what? My body is not what it used to be. And you talk about raising, you know, children and learning that relationship between parent, responsibility to be a parent. And now I'm sort of a friend, guidance, you know, giving wisdom, counsel. And man, that's a hard transition in figuring out how to do that and to do it well to the honor and glory of God for the good of your child, but also for your sanity as well. Man, some of those things are really difficult, dealing with aging parents. And how do we approach that in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, honoring to our parents with all the other things we feel like we have to do? So, man, a lot of things that are resonating really well. And that's led our culture to describe these moments that are very normative, which I think you've described, as a midlife crisis. So talk about that idea. Where did it come from? And why is an idea like that significant? Because obviously, if you have a title, a lot of people have experienced similar things. So now we've captured this label to sort of describe it. Talk about where this came from and why it's significant.
It's interesting that the term midlife crisis was coined by psychoanalyst Elliot Jocks back in 1957. And Jocks claimed that people in their mid-30s typically experience a type of depression. He pointed out that back in the 14th century, Dante's protagonist in the Divine Comedy declares at the beginning of the book, "Midway upon the journey of our life, I found myself within a forest dark, where the straightforward pathway had been lost." And so Jocks interpreted Divine Comedy as Dante's experience of the midlife crisis. So that's sort of the origin of the term. Today, the term midlife crisis is really used by many secular writers to describe the intense struggle people experience in middle age. I have one reference from journalist Jane Brody from the New York Times, who remarked that midlife crisis is often marked by self-doubt, marital discourse and divorce, extramarital affairs, abrupt career shifts, personality changes, sexual problems, depression, and newly awakened anxieties about health and mortality. And this term has become sort of a catch-all term to describe the fact that people can struggle intensely in middle age. And so I borrow from the framework Heath Lambert has laid out in his work, A Theology of Biblical Counseling, where he says secular psychology can make accurate observations about how people behave, but they can't make accurate interpretations of why they're behaving the way that they are behaving, because they don't understand that it's out of the heart that flow the issues of life. And the heart of man is always responding either rightly or wrongly to God. But when the secular world says people tend to struggle intensely in middle age and people tend to behave badly or in extreme ways in middle age, I don't doubt that they behave in this way. I think what we need to do is the work of biblical counseling is evaluate this behavior biblically and seek to biblically interpret why people are struggling in this way, what is the source, the heart issues that are being exposed in middle age as they encounter the pressures of life.
Okay, so that's exactly where I want to go. And I can't let you leave at that point, right? Because up to this point, we've been thinking, man, I don't have a lot to look forward to when I get 45. And my goodness, if that's what experience is like, and certainly the culture has described that you can expect a midlife total meltdown and crisis of faith, belief, and whatever else. And that's pretty despairing. That's pretty difficult to address. But we have a lens by which to see through. And what we need to get to is, okay, biblically, how do we think about this? Walk us through specifically how we biblically think about this concept of midlife crisis.
What's been so encouraging is that I don't think we need new biblical counseling principles or convictions or truths to evaluate what's happening in midlife. And what I've done in my study is sort of go through just basic biblical counseling principles and apply them to what are we seeing in midlife. So Jeremiah 17:7 is a common passage we use in biblical counseling classes to teach these principles. God says there, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." So there you have the believer likened to a tree, very common picture. The tree has roots, which are unseen. The tree has fruits, which can be seen. And so we'd see that the believer has behavior, actions, words, and emotions, which we can see. And those behaviors are the overflow of the issues of the heart. The issues of the heart are unseen. And so just basic biblical counseling principles, the distinction between root issues and fruit issues. And we also see the distinction between heat issues and heart issues. And so the heat described in this passage, the external circumstances which put pressure on the tree, and the heat is used by God to draw out the purposes of the heart. And what is so encouraging about this passage is that this tree in Jeremiah 17 bears good fruit even when the heat comes, for its roots are in the right place. It is rooted in a trusting relationship with the Lord. And Dale, this is just one passage we use to teach biblical counseling principles. There are so many others, but even with just those basic concepts in place, the difference between root and fruit and heat and heart, I think we can have a basic understanding of what is happening in a so-called midlife crisis. When I read secular author Jane Brody, and she says people in midlife crisis are experiencing marital discourse and divorce, extramarital affairs, abrupt career shifts, personality changes, sexual problems, I don't doubt that people actually behave like that. I'm not going to look at a secular description and say, well, no, that never happens in this world. We know that happens in the world because people bear bad fruit. They bear bad fruit because their roots are in the wrong places. But the promise of this text is that the believer can bear good fruit even when the heat comes. So what are the heat issues in the life of a middle-aged believer? We've just talked about a number of examples: physical limitations, parenting difficulties, marital struggles, caring for aging parents, singleness as a middle-aged believer, vocational disillusionment, emotional grieving. I think we could say, Dale, that any one of these issues can put a lot of pressure upon that tree. And if you combine two or three or even four of these issues, and that's a lot of pressure being put on the tree, that's a lot of heat that this tree is experiencing. And we would note as biblical counselors that in middle age, the heat in life can get very hot. So if someone says, I think I might be having a midlife crisis, my first response is not, well, there's no such thing as a midlife crisis. That doesn't exist. My first response is, friend, tell me about the heat you're experiencing. What are you dealing with? What are the struggles you're facing? And then what are the heart issues that are being exposed as you encounter this heat? So just a real simplified example I'll use for the purpose of illustration. If what is in a man's heart is he values and treasures success in his career above everything else, if he desires, if he's constantly thinking that his vocation is going to bring him security and joy, and he hits in his midlife the heat issue of his business failing or even his business succeeding, but he just finds no fulfillment in it, you're going to see as he walks through that heat, there are going to be some heart issues that come out. And this man, if he has valued his career throughout his life, he may experience a struggle in life that is so intense, it may look like a crisis. People may look at him and say, he's having a midlife crisis. But it didn't. Those heart issues didn't show themselves in his 20s and 30s. It showed themselves in his 40s and 50s, because that's when the heat issues of midlife expose what was in his heart. It's a simplified example because there's rarely just one heart issue and one heat issues. In midlife, there's usually a number of heat issues and a number of heart issues going on. But I think those basic biblical counseling principles of just, let's just look at what are the root issues and the fruit issues, what are the heat issues and the heart issues, I think we can understand that the heat of midlife brings out heart issues. And what God is doing through that is he is working on our hearts. He wants our hearts to be submitted to Christ. He wants our hearts to treasure Christ above all else. He wants our hearts to be at a place where we see that Christ is satisfying above everything else that we have in life. When the believer's heart, when our roots are in the right place and we're rooted in Christ, we will bear good fruit even when we encounter these midlife heat issues and even as the heat comes and puts pressure upon the tree.
Dan, that was brilliant, brother. And I'll just say, if my students are listening, or if whoever you are out there listening, what Dan has just done is a masterclass in helping us to understand how we're not dismissive of people's experiences, but what we firmly believe is that the Bible explains those experiences better than any other system that's out there. And so what he just did was to help us to see how these experiences that we're feeling and that we're going through at a given moment, the Bible has actually helped us contextually to understand how and why these things are happening. And so now, to give insight and ear to what the Bible is actually saying, it reconceptualizes a paradigm that helps us to better understand why we're feeling the way we're feeling, why we're acting the way we're acting, or why we're so despairing in a given moment. So, brother, that was very, very helpful in giving concepts that just make sense of our life. And that's what the truth of the Bible really does, is it gives context and truth to that reality that we're experiencing. But we don't want people to stay there. I'm not just content for them to sort of understand conceptually, well, this is what's happening to you. We have to move them forward. We want to move them forward to take, you know, what God has given as insight on why they're experiencing those things, Give some practical encouragements about how to counsel someone who's middle-aged, believer in Christ. They're wrestling with some of these issues. You work through conceptually. Now they start to understand, oh, well, that makes a lot of sense. This is why I'm seeing this come out of my heart. Give some practical examples about how we address those.
I really want to encourage biblical counselors to proceed with biblical ministry, to have confidence in God's word, to not be intimidated by what the world is saying about what's happening in middle age, to be aware, but not to be intimidated. And you don't need to be an expert on what the secular world is saying to minister to middle-aged believers. I think you need to be an expert in the scriptures, and you need to become wise in ministering to hearts and discerning heart issues. But I really want biblical counselors to feel confident in God's word and feel confident that the Holy Spirit is with them, and that God will use you to minister to middle-aged believers in Christ. And so the basic biblical counseling methods that we teach in Intro to Biblical Counseling apply to middle-aged believers in Christ, that we want you to give a lot of hope, to do good inventory, to ask good questions, to be involved in your counselees' lives, to show compassion, to understand the heat issues, that it is really hot, and enter the counselees' world and see life through their eyes, but proceed with biblical ministry. And I would emphasize in those methods that we have a lot of hope to offer to middle-aged believers in Christ. This can be a tremendous season of life, that even as we walk through the heat, that God is working on our hearts. And he's working on our hearts to bless us, to transform us, to make us more like Christ. And the spirit of what I would say to counselee, or to even any listener today who is struggling with middle-aged issues, is, brother, sister, welcome to being middle-aged. And it may be true that your body doesn't work the same way that it used to. It may be true that you may be struggling to relate to your older children. Your marriage may be more difficult than you thought it would be. Your parents are aging and have needs to attend to. Or you may be unexpectedly experiencing singleness in middle age. And you may be emotionally grieving the loss of a loved one. And friend, we just want to know that our hearts go out to you, that the heat of life can get very hot in the season of life. But we also want you to know that God's grace is sufficient. Through the person and work of Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, middle age can be, according to the word of God, a time where you bear much fruit to the glory of God. You can know God more than ever in your middle age years. You can become more like Jesus more than ever as you walk through these challenges and difficulties. The word of God can be sweeter than it ever has been to your soul. As even as your outer man may be wasting away, your inner man is being renewed day by day. And friends, let's do the heart work together. Let's submit ourselves to God's word, and let's pray that God would do a gracious work in our lives, that we would bear much fruit to the glory of Christ. I just think, Dale, we have a lot of hope to offer to the middle-aged believer in Christ, and I pray that we would be in the biblical counseling movement, we'll be faithful to minister that hope to others.
Well said, brother. Thank you so much for your time and your thought and effort on this subject that impacts lots and lots of people, helping us think about it biblically. So thanks for your labors.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of ACBC. You know, what's interesting is Dan and I were talking through this today. I don't know if you felt this, but maybe it's just my age. I felt like Dan was describing parts of my life. And I'm so grateful for this brother and his insight from the scripture and his dedication to meditate, to think on this time period of life and all the beautiful riches that God has given us to think about this time. And God has equipped us to handle these things, that as we get older, how we deal with different changes and adjustments that we would deal with in life. I want to remind you before we go today of a valuable resource that we put out a couple of years ago. It's on our website, and we hope it ministers to you all as counselors, especially counselors who deal with lots of cases of abuse. And I would encourage you, if you're an elder at your church or pastor at your church listening, I would encourage you to find this resource, our Committed to Care documents and framework that we carefully put together as a team of counselors to help everyone try and understand and navigate the complexities of abuse from a perspective of biblical counseling, that we would see what the scriptures say about the particulars and the nuances that that are involved with trying to understand abuse and how it affects people, and then how we respond appropriately in a God-honoring way for the good of the individuals from a biblical context. And so I highly recommend that you would take a look at these documents, and there's some guided videos along with it as well. You can find out more by going to our website and clicking the Committed to Care button, which is on the homepage. And of course, you know where that's located at biblicalcounseling.com.